Hey there, I'm so pumped to tell you about an amazing new community I've launched called Grief to Growth Circle Community. It's a space for people who are grieving to come together to support each other and for people who want to know who we are, why we're here, and where we're going to have those conversations, all the things we talk about on the podcast. So I invite you to join me at grieftogrowth.com/community to become part of this compassionate crew. The best part is 100% free. And you have access to me in addition to everybody else in the community. In fact, the podcast will be there so you can talk about the things we talk about in the podcast right there in the community. There's also some premium content if you want to go deeper in the work I'm doing, but mostly it's about building relationships and community and about sharing resources and supporting each other. So come on over and check it out. It's grieftogrowth.com/community. I'll see you inside. Hey, everybody, this is Brian back with another episode of the Grief to Growth podcast. If it's your first time here, this is a space dedicated to exploring the depths of life, the journey through grief, and the pathways to growth and to healing. Whether you're a first-time listener or you're a returning member of the community, I'm glad to have you back with us or have you with us today. Today, we're honored to have an extraordinary guest. Her name is Raquel Reyna. She's a master in the realms of spiritual psychology and human design. She's renowned for her transformative and revolutionary teaching methods. She's got a master's degree in spiritual psychology, and she's established herself internationally, founding the Creative Coaching Certification, as I'd say, and leading certifications in four radical transformations, the Dream Rave and Rave Cosmology. Her journey is a testament to the courage of following one's calling. She transitioned from climbing the corporate ladder, where she was a global representative for her company, and she appeared on shows like The Tyra Banks Show, The View, to embracing her true path in her 40s. She discovered she's a splenic projector. I have to ask her how to pronounce that, in human design, and that was a catalyst for this dramatic shift. It allowed her to launch an online career that's authentically aligned with her true self, and she now serves over 60,000, as she calls them, mutants worldwide. So she's got a huge impact, and I'm glad to welcome Raquel to the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I need to get your version of that bio because that was really great. Thank you so much for that.
Oh, I'm glad to have you here, but I have to start by asking you because I probably butchered the pronunciation. What's a splenic? What was it again?
Well, you know what's so funny is a lot of people do say splenic and I say splenic, but I think it's probably either way goes. So I think you're good.
so what is that?
So the modality that I use the most with my clients is a system called human design, and it shows you your different aura types. And one of them is the splenic projector. And so when I found that out, it really was the catalyst for me to transform my life. And it changed my life so radically and on such deep levels that I realized I needed to assist other people with the knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so I had been on a spiritual path for a long time, but this was sort of the piece that really helped me on a practical level on how to sort of live a life that I loved and I felt really good about. So it's one of the auric types in human design.
Okay. And I've heard of human design, but for people who haven't, explain to people what human design means.
Yeah, so human design is a system and it merges the astrology. So it uses the astrology system. It uses the chakra system. Mm-hmm. It also uses an ancient study called the I Ching and the Kabbalah with the modern day sciences of the neutrino physics and quantum physics. So it merges all of these things together and it gives you sort of a blueprint. And it's not as much knowledge as it is an experiment. And so the knowledge asks you to experiment with your strategy. So it says that each person has a different strategy for success. And because, you know, I had so much, my pain in this life is more around financial. I had a lot of financial loss, a lot of career struggles, and a lot of bankruptcies and being homeless, being broke, and not really understanding how to live on this earth and not really knowing how to figure that out. And so I tried a lot of different things, and I studied a lot of spiritual teachings and the law of attraction and the secret. And I did a lot of healing work. And, you know, one of my greatest trauma stems from my dad losing his business when I was in high school. And so it was like financial trauma, which, you know, is hard on one level. And so this was the system that helped me decipher what I was doing wrong, not wrong, but how I could do things through this experiment that opened a pathway for me to kind of begin my healing on that level around the, you know, figuring out how to not, work in careers that I really hated and was kind of desperate for most of my life in that area.
Okay. Well, from your bio, it sounded like you were fairly successful in your career. So how did that work out for you?
Yeah. So that actually was later in life too, in the corporate. Okay. So, the corporate career I did, starting in my late 30s. So it was pretty good, but, you know, I've always been a spiritual practitioner. And so I came to my spiritual path really young, right? When I was, you know, in my 19, 20 years old, I had a spiritual awakening and a spiritual calling. And I started traveling all over the world. And I worked with different shamans. And I was very out there. I was not very grounded. Sorry, my dog likes to work with me.
Oh, I understand.
You work from home, you know.
Yeah.
And so then I tried to create a life as a spiritual practitioner. And in those days, it was, you know, before social media, before YouTube, before any of those things that could have helped me maybe at that time. So I was just a broke spiritual practitioner, basically, you know, traveling around. I had pretty much unable to kind of take care of myself financially on that level. And so when I did go back to school to get my master's degree, I kind of put things aside, the spiritual, and was like, okay, now I'm going to make some money. And I'm going to get really practical here. And I did get very lucky with that career because it was all women and it was entrepreneurial. So it did support me for a good 7 years. And but there was a point as I was doing that work that I again started to feel that I wasn't fully being recognized and I wasn't fully living my calling. So I tried to get out by having my own entrepreneurial business. And I tried a lot of different things. And I invested in a brick and mortar business to try and get out of the corporate thing, because the corporate thing was like draining me. So on one level, there was success, but on an inner level, I was feeling completely soul defeated and crushed. So I invested in a brick and mortar business for passive income and to try and get out of it. And it was definitely not passive income. It was, you know, I was commuting. And for those of you who know LA, I was commuting on the 405. It basically took me like 3 hours to get there and 3 hours to get home. Wow. And it was like, you know, 12 hour days. I mean, it was excruciating, and there was people stealing from me, and it was a money drain. And basically that was when I just lost everything. And I, at that point, realized that I was a splenic projector. And the first thing you learn about a splenic projector in human design is we are the aura type. There's 5 different aura types in this system. And we're the aura type that will not be able to work long hours. We can't really keep up with everybody else. And we can't initiate like a manifester in order to make things happen.
Interesting.
And so, and they, what they're saying is that each aura type has a different strategy for success. And because I had tried so many things, the law of attraction, the secret, I've been studying for so many years and I was losing all my money. My accountant said, you're about to lose your home. You're going to basically lose everything because I had a manager stealing from me. I had 20 something employees and they were it was pure chaos. And it was one of those moments when, your whole life is falling apart. And I thought, well, I don't know what else to do. So I'm going to study this system. And it was so eye-opening. Hmm. And so it's a really powerful experiment. And everybody that I've brought it to is blown away by it. Their whole lives are like, make sense. And the thing is about it also now, it's one of the fastest growing search terms on Google. So it's still hidden. It's still new, but it's expanding and more people are coming to it and more people are getting excited by it. Mm-hmm. And so because it was so radical for me, I felt like, God, if I had just gotten this information 2 decades before, it would have been so much easier in my life. And so now a lot of my clients are, in their 20s and really young and, mm-hmm. and using this information to help them kind of build careers more to who they are.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So you mentioned you said five types, I believe, right? So the splenic projector, what are the other types?
So there's also the manifestor. So mm-hmm. a lot of people have heard that before, sure. The manifestor. And the interesting thing about the manifestor is they are going to have an easier time manifesting things, building businesses, having success on that level. But what's interesting about it is that they're only 8% of the population. So like why, have you heard of The Secret?
Oh, of course.
Of course, right? It's kind of like everybody's heard of it and it works on a level with the law of attraction and those spiritual principles, but it doesn't work for everyone. And why isn't everybody living their best millionaire careers and lives? And so human design kind of helps a little bit get clear on why that is. And so mm-hmm. 8% of the population will really succeed kind of utilizing those tools. And they're called manifestors. And they can go out and initiate things and make things happen. And according to this knowledge, they are the aura type that built all of humanity. So for the last 411 years, according to this knowledge, we were built and ruled by the manifestor aura type.
Interesting.
And so that's changing though, and it's moving more towards the projector. So, and the projector is a type that needs other people. So it's more of a collaboration, and the manifestors are the lone wolves and they can kind of do things on their own. So the manifestors are one type, the projectors are another. Mm-hmm. And then 70% of the population are generators, and generators are really going to be that energy that can work 9 to 5. They can work long hours. They have sustainable energy. However, and this is a big however with the generators, is that energy is such a huge commodity that it has to be satisfied in the work that they're doing. So they have to have this energy of satisfaction. So if you have a generator fuel that's in a work dynamic that's causing them frustration, then they're causing sort of an aura pollution on the planet. So if you imagine 70% of the population in a work or career that they don't like, they're like this cloud of frustration. And so 70% of the population, if they just learn their human design, they could shift that if they're feeling frustrated in the work they do into being more satisfied. But of course, it's, it takes courage to kind of follow this kind of knowledge, because you have to go against maybe what your mind is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what human design is saying is that the mind is an outdated system that we've been using to strategize our lives.
Okay.
And, you know, it's really interesting though, because I've been really researching like the amount of human species that we've evolved from. There was like at one time 5 different species, and now there's only the Homo sapiens, right? Mm-hmm. The Homo sapiens evolved because of the mind. So it is a really important thing that we use to get to where we are, you know, because I mean, humans basically rule the planet now, and yet we're evolving out of the mind. And so what human design is saying is we're having an evolutionary stage where there's something more intelligent to rule our choices in our life. And the intelligence is more like a vehicle intelligence, which is when you can, you know, shift out of the mind. And what some people might refer to more as like the intuition or something like this. But what human design is saying is that each person has a different type of intuitive, and we call it our inner GPS system. And each person has a different type. And so that was also, so the splenic part is the inner authority. So there's different little ways that you can decide what's correct for you.
Okay.
So to get back to your question, sorry, there's the projector, the manifestor, the generator, and the reflector.
Okay.
So the reflector is the other aura type.
Okay. And I've heard something about this before, so it is sounding familiar as you mentioned it. But we've all heard of The Seeker, and we've all heard of the Law of Attraction, and I used to be in the church, and it was called the Prosperity Gospel, and basically just said if you just think the right thoughts and believe the right things, then good things will happen to you, and you can live a life of ease and health and everything. And they almost make you feel guilty if you push back against them, because they say, well, that just means you're not trying hard enough.
Right. And that's exactly where I was. You know, I felt I had tried everything, and I was so desperate because I really did start attacking myself, because that was one of the things that you do in, you know, spiritual communities. And, you know, you think I must be really doing something wrong.
Right.
And, you know, you can't help it, because you're like, okay, I'm meditating, I'm holding the frequency, I'm doing all these things, that's still not working.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the greatest gift I gave myself with human design was like, okay, you're not doing anything wrong. It's just experiment with a different type of strategy, try something else. And it really took me off the hook to be like, oh, wow, I'm not designed to live like that. I'm not designed to work that many hours. I don't have it in me. And it really freaking helped. And it helps a lot of my community. And a lot of people are obsessed with the knowledge now. It's like I said, it's growing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just little pieces of knowledge that help you with exactly things like that, where it's like, you know, that just did not work. So, you know, how can we do things just a little bit differently?
Right. So the human design, I heard you mention several different things that we're familiar with, astrology, Kabbalah, some other things. How do I find out what my type is?
Yeah. So in human design, well, there's now software that puts it all together for you. So you can actually grab your free chart. We have the software on our website. It's RaquelAndDavidian.com. So if you're curious to know which your aura type is, you can just go to RaquelAndDavidian.com. And then in my book, my book that just came out in August, it's called Are You a Mutant? I go step by step through each one of the aura types and help people to kind of read their chart. Because you first look at it and it looks like you're looking at another language, right? It's like, what is this? I mean, I have trouble with astrology because of all the symbols and numbers, and, you know, it's confusing. Mm-hmm. So I try and break it down super simple for people, where it's like, okay, this is my aura. This is my inner authority. And I kind of break it down so that you can follow along. And the thing is, for me, is just the gift it gives people to help them, particularly in things like finding their life purpose, finding their careers, you know, people who have struggled in different areas like manifesting, it's really, really helpful. Really, really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really fascinated to hear about that because, as I said, we've all heard of these things, and so there's basically two of the types, I guess, that I've heard of, or two of the ways of thinking. One is just power through and work hard, right? If you just work hard enough, you know, work 70 hours a week. And I've heard people say that, well, the way I got to where I am is I worked 70 hours a week or 80 hours a week. And I've always thought, I can't do that. There's no way. And then the other one is just think the right thoughts and then magical things will happen to you. And I think a lot of us, you know, we're like, well, neither one of those things is working for me.
That's exactly how it happened for me. It was like when I invested in that business, I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to do the manifestation techniques that I'm going to visualize the success. I'm going to mm-hmm. visualize it working. And then, you know, at one point my accountant said, you got to wake up in the morning and get there before the doors open. And you got to stay there until the doors close. And I'm like, I was already burned out and I had already been working at corporate. So I was trying to get out and I was already burned out from corporate. And then I was burned out from doing this. And my soul, literally I was crying every single day. And I thought, you know, I'm going to lose my home. Probably I'm going to lose everything. But I was just studying human design. And they said, you know, if you follow this strategy and if you follow this experiment, the universe arranges things to align for you to be successful by following this strategy. And I was like, well, I don't know. I'm going to try it. So I literally decided to just sleep in. I went against what everybody told me. I went against what my accountant was saying and everything. And I was like, you know, at this point, I'm so burned out and tired and fried. I don't even care anymore. Like, take it from me. You know, I'll start over. I've been homeless before. Like, if it happens, you know, I'll just visit my friend couches. I mean, it's a lot harder in your 40s than in your 20s. Mm-hmm. So this was like, because it happened to me in my 20s. So, but you can kind of get away with it then, yeah, you know,
yeah.
But when you're in your 40s, people are like, get your shit together, you know?
Right.
So I was terrified, but I also was desperate. And so I just decided to sleep in and I slept in and I was like, I'm going to let the chips fall where they may. Luckily at the very last hour, I was able to sell that store. And so I sold it and was able, so I slept in and I started studying my human design chart. And I just woke up and I said, every day, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to study it. I'm going to follow this. And it was literally by the grace of the divine, you know, if you want to call it God or whatever, it was like the grace of God coming in also with this knowledge that helped me to like, this is the strategy I'm going to use on the practical earth plane. And so I just studied it. And then I got a buyer to take care of, you know, buying the store. And I had already stopped corporate because I couldn't do both. I was trying to do both for a little while. Then I gave up the corporate because I was like, I'm going to die. So I gave up the corporate and then I stopped going into the store. Somebody luckily bought it. And so it was because when they bought it, it was enough money to kind of help me be without a career, without a job for a while. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, well, this is the opportunity to experiment with this. And so that's how I was able to kind of create my business, which now this is, and that's already been over 7 years. So, you know, 7 years of somehow I managed to survive and financially, like logically, I could have never figured it out. You know, I could have never figured out how it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of surrendered and then slowly but surely, you know, I tried to do other businesses. But everyone kept saying, oh, we want to know about that human design thing. And I just kept studying it because I felt I had to, you know, because it was the only thing that worked.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just studying it. And then everybody's like, hey, I want to know about my gates. Tell me about this. Tell me about that. And so in human design, when you're a projector, your strategy is to wait for the invitation or to wait for recognition. So even though I thought I was going to do what I thought I was going to do was spiritual business, because the corporate career was business. I bought a bit. I thought, you know, I'm spiritual business. It kind of made logical sense.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody kept asking me for their human design. And I kept thinking, well, I don't know that much about it. I'm brand new to it still. And they're like, oh, but tell me. So I was getting recognized and invited to share about this information. And so I followed the strategy, which is wait for the recognition before you go out and make something happen, which I'd never done my whole life. I kept just going out, making something happen.
Yeah.
I was trained like, oh, listen to the intuition, then go do it, make it happen. So I just did it in a totally different way. And that's how I was able to, you know, pay off my debt. At that point, I was $100,000 in debt, by the way, with that store. So I paid off my debt and replaced my corporate salary. And now I work a couple hours a week. I mean, maybe more than a couple hours a week, but I'm on my own schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I sleep a lot. I relax a lot. And my career has now developed in a way where it's really an expression of my truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fascinating to me, because we're kind of told, okay, fit into this mold. This is the way things are supposed to be. This is the way to success. And I see so many people, especially young people, really struggling with what they're being told to do. And even if you're quote successful, feeling burnout, feeling like this is not fulfilling to me. This is not satisfying to me. And we tell them, well, just work harder. This is the price you pay for, I don't know, living on the planet or whatever it is.
And that's the place that I get a lot of my clients. They're at that place where, you know, I don't know if I should go to college because I don't want to be in debt. I don't know what I should do. I don't know where to go. And I also get a lot of people who have done high-end coaching where they've invested in these, you know, programs that are teaching them how to run businesses. And so they're trying the systems that work for other people, but not working for them. So I do get a lot of people at that point of severe burnout, and I've tried everything and nothing else is working. And that's when they kind of come to the knowledge to try something different, you know, and experiment and see if it helps.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey there, I'm testing out a new feature. I'd love to get your feedback on it. It's called Fan Mail, and you can send me a message right from the show notes of the podcast. So look for the link that says send me a text. You can ask a question for a future podcast. You can suggest a guest or just give me any feedback you want. Just remember, it is one way. I can't text you back, and I will not have your name, your email address, or your phone number unless you include it in the message. Let me know what you think. Yeah, that's true. And I think a lot of us come to things when we're kind of at the end of our road. It's like, okay, I've tried everything. And like you said, when we finally surrender, we finally say, okay, I can't do this anymore. I give up. I can't figure it out. I don't know if that's when the universe steps in or guides or higher power or whatever. It seems like, but that's kind of the point that we have to get to.
That's absolutely it. And, you know, the thing is for me is I've always been able to feel my guides, and I've always felt that I've had like a really deep connection to God. Like that has been one of the things that was really big for me, but I never really understood what action to take. And that's the place for me where I got very confused. And so I was able to understand the action. And I often explain this as this map code as a GPS system. And what's interesting about this is the I Ching is where you find your gates in human design. And the I Ching is actually correlated to your DNA code. So there's a lot of books written on this, on this, the pattern of the codons with your the codons with the I Ching hexagrams. It's really fascinating. This is not my study, but I've read a lot of books on it. And there's all, it's kind of like sacred geometry, where you find these patterns and spirals in nature, and it correlates to mathematics. Well, it's the same thing with our DNA code and the I Ching. And the I Ching is this ancient mystery school knowledge, and it's involved in the human design intel. And so I tell people it's kind of like reading your DNA code, and you get like a blueprint or a fingerprint that's unique to you. And so, and it's also called the art of differentiation. And this is also really important, because we're so oftentimes in our society conditioned to do things the same. So like, you're kind of conditioned, like, this is what life should look like. Like, you do A, you do B, you work 9 to 5, then you retire, and then you get your, you know, your 401k. And, you know, it's like people think like, oh, this is what life should be. Mm-hmm. And then if something, you know, happens and your life looks different, or you don't fit into that, you're like, that doesn't work for me. I don't feel that I can do that. It is showing you that, like, we each have a unique calling. We each have a unique puzzle piece. We each have something really important that we're here to bring our life.
Mm-hmm.
And that unique puzzle piece needs to be fully expressed for you to feel fulfilled, you know, to feel like you're living out your calling. And so it's kind of like, this is what I help people do, is to find that little uniqueness that's just for them, and help them to kind of, you know, fill their piece in the grand puzzle of life.
Yeah. So it's you, I noticed in your material, you talk about, like, it's not just written in the stars. This is, I always ask people for questions when they're coming on the program, and I very rarely use them, but you had some great ones. And you had one about, like, you know, it's not just written in the stars, it's written in your DNA, which is kind of what you touched on. Because, you know, a lot of us have fallen out, would think, well, astrology is just, I don't know, ancient thinking, and that's not really real, but DNA is very real. And so it sounds like you're saying it's not either or, it's both.
Yeah. And that's what's interesting. I like when science kind of matches what spiritual practitioners are saying, because sometimes people need that logical piece, you know, to look at the science so it makes sense to their logic. Mm-hmm. Because logic is important. People like to know, oh, if I plant this seed in the ground and I water it, I'm going to get an apple tree. Like, it's really important that people kind of, you know, understand the logic of things. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there are these different kind of ways of scientifically showing you that there are unique things, obviously, in your DNA code is very, very unique. But also, I like this notion of understanding your DNA code or your calling is really unique to you. And it's really important to kind of allow yourself to express this uniqueness. And I think that, you know, people want to, or that's a common theme, like, be yourself. But sometimes, and what human design is saying is, you first have to unravel all of the places where you're living as your not self, all the places where you've absorbed things from your parents or your teachers or society, mm-hmm. where you've absorbed things to be something that you're not. And so that's a big part of the process too. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. And that brings us to another thing that you had said, and I love this. You said the search to understanding the big three, who you are, why you're here, and what is your purpose, which are three of the questions that I think that everybody needs to ask and answer. And you say we consult the stars, the prophets, the gurus, the priests, and personality assessments, but we're missing the bigger, more accurate question, who you are not. And I think that's kind of what you were just talking about. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, and what human design really does help is to show you like where you are consistent in your energy and where you are absorbing from somebody else. And so like for anybody who's an empath, you know, you kind of absorb people's emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And so what human design starts and helps show you is like, okay, so if you're absorbing someone's emotions, how do you know what your emotions are? You know, how do you know the difference?
Mm-hmm.
And there are ways to know that. And so that was huge for me because I'm a person who's very empathic. I was absorbing, amplifying all the emotions of everybody around me. And so it was causing me to be very extreme in my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are just the opposite. Their emotions have been shut down or repressed or like pushed down.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of see where the differences are. And some people you need to help them express their emotions. And some people you want to help them to like, no, those emotions are not yours. And so it's a really like, you know, eye-opening type of thing to discover what's your uniqueness, who are you, and how can you, you know, kind of best live in, you know, what it is that's wanting to birth through your life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What you say reminds me of, you know, as I've been studying life for as long as I have been, you know, we come in and we are unique. And anybody that's had children, especially if you have more than one child, you realize that we don't come in as blank slates. We come in with a certain personality, certain characteristics. Again, some people might say that's astrological. Some people might say it's DNA, whatever it is. But then society says, okay, this is how you have to be. Your parents say, this is how you have to be. Your teachers say, this is how you have to be. This is the path to success. And then we forget who we are. We're like, we don't even know who we are at some point. And we don't know which emotions are ours. We don't know which emotions aren't ours. You know, we just know this is what we're told. This is the path that you need to follow. So I hear what you're saying about like, how do I get back to who I am? I think that's really an appeal to what you do.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi there. I'm really excited to tell you about my latest ebook. It's 4 lessons that you can learn from the near-death experience without going through all the trouble of dying to learn them. I've been studying NDEs for several years now. I am completely convinced that not only are they 100% real, but that there's some very universal wisdom that we can get from the near-death experience. And I've distilled that down in this book into 4 short lessons. And I've also given you all the reasons why I believe that NDEs are absolutely real. So go to www.grieftogrowth.com/NDE lessons to pick it up for free. www.grief2growth.com/NDE lessons. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, that is a big, huge thing, is all the voices in our heads that have led us to certain choices in our lives. And because they're so ingrained, depending on how ingrained they are, you know, some people are more rebellious. But even rebellion is actually just the flip side of the same coin, mm-hmm. you know? So like if your mom tells you to do A and you decide to do the opposite because of that, oftentimes that action itself is still conditioning because you're like rebelling to be the opposite. And that's what I did for a lot of years. And so it's really important to kind of understand why it is we're doing what we do. And so many people don't take that time to unravel that. And so they just may go about life feeling just a little bit frustrated or feeling just a little bit like, I don't like my life. And that's when we see a lot of people kind of numbing out, right? Mm-hmm. Or too much TV or too much alcohol or too much food or, you know, just like numbing out to the life that maybe they don't like. And really, So, you know, it's a lot easier than people think because it's just one moment at a time, you know, noticing like, oh, I'm actually more like this. And because of what my mom told me, I went in this direction, you know, and kind of just awareness and insight opens the doors to possibilities, things that you cannot even think happening. Like you, once you have an insight, then all of a sudden a new pathway opens or you see an opportunity that you may not have seen. So I think a lot of people feel trapped in their life or trapped in a career or trapped in a job. And when you're in that career, and this definitely happened for me, I couldn't even see, you know, my mind, I was like, I don't know what I can do. I don't know of any other career I could do. I don't know. You know, my brain couldn't figure it out.
Right.
And so sometimes like the insight is what opens the door.
Mm-hmm. The title of your book, I love it. I want to talk about that. You said, is it, are you a mutant? A step-by-step human design guide to unleash your genius, understand your uniqueness and thrive during times of transformation. Why are you a mutant? What does that mean?
So in human design, there are three circuit groups. One is individual, one is tribal, and one is collective. And so the collective are those people that are here to share. They're the ones who helped us create community or all of the infrastructure like libraries, parks, things that are free. Mm-hmm. The tribal is going to be more about the business. It's going to be about family and all the places where you act more in that way where, oh, this is my group. Mm-hmm. And then the individual is the one that doesn't fit in. You feel like an outsider. You might have been called, you know, an outcast or, you know, the one who is different from society. And the one that is different from society is really needed because I think one of the greatest examples is like Steve Wozniak. If you guys remember Steve Wozniak, he is the guy who created the Apple computer, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he was like the nerd in high school. No one understood him. He was an outcast and he's like tinkering away in his garage. And at that time, we didn't know what computers were. So he was just a weirdo, right? He was somebody where we're looking, what is that guy doing in his garage? And so he was what society needed to break away from what everyone else was doing to do something totally different and to create a new path for all of society. So the individuals are very, very important. And we lovingly call them mutants. The mutants are the ones that are not going to fit in. They, you know, they're not going to be a part of groups very easily. And we all have mutant in us, by the way. Everybody has all of the gates and we all have tribal. We all have collective. We all have mutant. But some people have a little bit more than other people. So you might have 75% more of the mutant. And what's interesting about this is that come 2027, we're moving into a new era and the wheel is shifting and we're moving into the era of the individual. So all of those things that were more collectively tribal, which would be things like, it's really important to, you know, when you're, for example, if you're a woman, you need to start looking for your husband by a certain age. You need to have kids. You need to, you know, do all these things, get the white picket fence. And that is a tribal agreement that over the last 400 years is confirmed by the aura mechanics that we've collectively been in. So there's a collective shift that's happening come 2027. So in 4 years, where there's going to be a new shift more towards that individual. So that individual that's here to break away, to do things their own way, to discover a life that's more unique to them. So the reason why so many people are having this like discomfort around things that they're pushed into, that they don't really feel part of, and they're feeling this bubbling up, this discomfort, this calling to be something different, is because we're literally changing the mechanics so that everybody is going to be moving into the era of the individual. So everybody needs to self-actualize. That's basically what it's saying. And so this book is really telling you how to first understand who you are by knowing your human design chart, and then get ready for this new time where if you're relying on a, you know, thinking that the government's going to take care of you, or the, you know, your old business model is going to take care of you, or these old structures that we used to rely on, the 401k or whatever, all these models are breaking down. And what human design is saying in the next 4 years is the time that you need to become more self-reliant. You need to figure out a way to make yourself happy. You need to figure out a way to make money as your unique self. You need to figure out a way how to heal your body more and heal yourself, not based on old, outdated systems. Even the school systems. It's another thing why so many homeschools, so many new ways of learning, so many new education models, so many new systems of money, like the Bitcoin and, you know, all of these things where it's like the you know, all of the PayPal apps and Zelle apps. And, you know, they don't want trading in the banks controlling everything anymore. This is all systematic decline of these tribal organizations that we once relied on. And now it's more about self-expression, self-awareness. And so people are feeling that. So the book is about discovering who you are, basically. All the things we just talked about is like, who are you? What are you relying on that you might not want to rely on? And how can you find your own footing in a world that is falling apart on a lot of different ways? You know, and like we have less, we feel less confident in our leaders, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to get political, but some people feel less confident in the leaders and the leadership and relying on things outside of themselves.
Well, so this, I want to interject there for a second, because we say we don't want to get political, and that's like a thing we're supposed to say. We're not supposed to get political. But that's true on both sides in the U.S. anyway. We have two sides, basically. And both sides are not confident in the leaders. I mean, there's nobody happy. There's 70% of people in this country right now are unhappy with the two choices we've got coming up for the next election. So that's not really a political statement.
Well, you're absolutely right. And the reason I said I want to get political is simply because I personally don't like talking about it, because I just can't. Like, I'm just like, both sides are nuts. There's, you know, like, if you're going to rely on anyone, that's what I mean, is any leadership out there on both sides are unreliable. And like, you've got to figure out how to lead yourself.
Yeah. Well, and that's an interesting proposition for someone, because I've been around for a long time. So I'm still part of that traditional thing that I expect, you know, there to be a government and the government to be responsible and to, you know, take care of us to a certain extent, I guess. And it concerns me when I see so many people saying, yeah, the government sucks. Both sides suck. I don't care. I don't even want to be involved in it. And that's a political thing, I guess. But practically speaking, I don't know how this manifests in 2027 when we're all individuals.
That's a good question. You know, everyone has a prophecy, and the you know, there's different prophecies. I have my own kind of vision of it. And I personally think that really what it's just about is that each person kind of has to find their own ideology, you know, especially now with so much of like what we saw around the fake news, and like, you don't really know what to believe. And like, even with all of the things that are coming out around, you know, these there's so many conspiracies that you don't know what's true.
That's true.
And then with AI coming out, now there's all these deep fakes where they're literally able to AI avatar you. And so we might not even know when we see someone speaking in on video, we might not even know if that's them or not. So, you know, the idea here and what I write a lot about in the book is you might not be able to rely on anything you're seeing. You might not be able to know what the truth is. And so how do you stand in not knowing the truth? And what do you rely on?
Yeah.
And so instead of going nuts and trying to figure it out and spinning out of control and going into confusion and fear and like not knowing, you have to be able to trust what is correct for you. And what human design is saying is that like, if you can deeply trust your own self, then no matter what goes on out there, no matter how nuts, whatever side of the leadership or how much they're fighting or how much this person says, this is the truth of what's going on. No, this is the truth of what's going on. Or this is the instead of have even needing to choose a side, you just go inside yourself and say, this is my truth. And with that said, I honor and respect your truth. okay, that's good for you, but that's not good for me. You know, and so instead of trying to like push our agenda onto other people, we just accept everybody's ideology and what people are believing and choose our own truth.
Yeah, that's a really fascinating thing to think about because, you know, in a way, things are definitely breaking down. And I hear some people say, well, things have to be torn down for something new to be built. And that's what I choose to believe because I have to remain optimistic.
Yep.
But it is scary because, you know, you mentioned fake news, AI. There's, you know, some people are thrilled about AI. They think AI is the greatest thing ever. Other people say AI is going to destroy us. And as you said, we're not going to be able, people can fake our voice now. They can fake, and very soon it'll be video, and we won't be able to know whether something was really said or done or not. So what this allows us to do is, as you said, is to start trusting ourselves and to be rooted in our own truth, regardless of what's going on around us.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And so my book is, it's really a guide to help people step by step begin that process of trusting themselves, learning who they are, unraveling what's not them, looking at the places where they relied on something that wasn't good for them. And it's not always the case. Like sometimes your parents teach you well. You know, sometimes you've gotten great at education from a teacher or a parent or whatever, and you want to maintain that. So it's not everything, you know, is bad. It's just discovering which ones you want to keep for yourself and then being able to really radically, I say it's radical self-reliance. Because if things are falling apart, let's say even, you know, the hospital systems or whatever, you know, when we did see things really breaking down, instead of buying into the battle is really taking care of your own health, like really taking care of your immune system, your stress, like really knowing how to self-heal, self-care, radically self-rely on who you are, trust in what you know, trust in who you are. So when things get rocky, and we've seen some rocky times over the past, like, you know, as you all walked through 2020 with me, we've seen some rocky times.
Right.
And according to human design, they say things are going to get more rocky. And so that's what this is about, is like really helping people to discover like what makes them unique and how they can radically self-rely during times of transformation, during rocky times.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. I think I'm more of a collective person. So it does scare me a little bit to hear people say, well, we just want to do our own thing. But I'm also very much into we have to be self-actualized, and that's how we contribute to the collective. Because if we're too, I think it's about balance. If we're too much into the collective, then we don't take care of ourselves. And I've seen people do that, and I think that's one of the issues we got now, because we're trying to, you know, basically stamp out automatons. It's like, this is the way you have to be. This is the way you have to work. This is the way you have to think. And I think it's important to teach people self-reliance, that then they can then turn around and be their best self for all of us.
So well said. And I mean, I think the idea here is, like, when people were taught in the past, you've been taught, sacrifice the self for the good of the country.
Right.
Sacrifice the self for the good of the family. Sacrifice the self for the good of your corporation. So think about even like corporate models where it's like the individual doesn't matter as long as the bottom line is good. You know, as long as this company is making $1 million, go ahead and work yourself to death. You know, this is the shift that needs to happen. Yes, we want you to have business success, but we want the individual to be healthy, whole, and satisfied in the work that they're doing. So that's the transition. Right. It's not that we want, you know, the collective and the roads and the tribes, the families and the businesses to fall apart. They won't. I don't believe that we're going to have a mass falling apart. That's not what I believe. Mm-hmm. I just believe that that shift needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And it might be hard to get there. Because what that means is people have to release control, because and corporations need to release the way they did it before. Because right. if they think, oh, well, if I let that person take care of themselves, I'm not going to be making the millions, because that's all they know. Yeah. And so, yeah, you have to shake things up a little bit in order to do things differently.
Completely agree. And I, as you said, that I was thinking about, you know, with the pandemic, a lot of people started working from home. Yes. And corporations are like, well, we have to let you work from home because now it's a health thing. And now people are saying, I like working from home. This works for me. I don't want to go back to the office. And you've got some corporations with that control thing, like, no, you need to come back. We need you here. And I see people literally leaving jobs because they're like, I'm not going back into the office. It doesn't work for me. I'm not doing a 3-hour commute. That's not a life.
Working from home is my heaven.
I've been doing it for 30 years. And
oh my God, that good for you. That's huge.
I was working from home before working from home was cool. And I don't understand cubicle life. I've been blessed. I've never had to work a cubicle job. I was in sales. I was an engineer. I was always in and out. I could set my own schedule. But again, I see a lot of people now saying, you're not going to control, you know, 70 hours of my week. You know, I'm not going to spend, you know, because, you know, maybe you're paying me for 8 hours a day, but you want me to drive an hour and a half each way. People are saying, I'm not going to do that. I think that's a good thing for our society.
I absolutely agree. I think people really found during 2020, when they were able to work from home, the freedom. You know, the freedom to like have your day back and be able to go to the store when you want and, you know, take care of your dog and like just kind of live your own schedule. Work at night if you're more comfortable. Sleep during the day, you know, kind of let the flow be in your own flow. And I agree. I think so many people took that on. And I think the companies that don't get on board with that are going to suffer. And that's just one thing, you know, but I think there are plenty of things that are like that where, you know, things are changing and it's really important not to try and control. And it's really important to kind of let this new change happen. And hopefully people start to see that there's a lot of beauty to it.
Yeah. Well, for me being the age I am, I remember, you know, back when I first started working in the early 1980s, you know, you would go to work for a company. I worked for IBM, for example. And the deal was you go to work for IBM, you work for IBM for 40 years. they give you a gold watch. They give you a pension and you do whatever they tell you to do. You move wherever they tell you to move. And it was, and then when that contract started falling apart, it took a while before the workers realized, okay, they're not taking care of me. So why should I be loyal to the company? And I see people now saying, okay, I'm going to be an independent agent. I might work for you as long as it works out for both of us. And that's a much more healthy relationship.
I absolutely agree. And that is the model that I think we're breaking free from. And a lot of people even, you know, are deciding not to go to college. And my nephew, he's 20 and he got into one of the best universities, Chicago, University of Chicago. Mm. He was there for a couple months and he's like, you know, I want to do my own business. And now he's already like has a successful business. He's in San Francisco. He's doing like one of the, you know, apps or whatever. And yeah. he's already running a hugely successful business and he's like 19, 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And so it's like there's a lot more models available now. And just the system of going to college, getting a job, doing that till your, you know, your retirement, that it has, it's still there, but it's not ruling everybody like right. it once did.
Right, right. Exactly. And I think that's really important because, again, people, even when my daughter graduated from high school 10 years ago, the question was always like, well, where are they going to college? Where are they going to college? And I started realizing that's not in the year 2023. Now at that time, whenever the year that was, 2017, when she graduated, it's like, no, she was whenever it was 2014 when she graduated, but you know, there are different ways of doing things now. And I tell people, if I were coming out of school now and I didn't have that kind of mindset, instead of going to college, I would learn a trade. Yep. And that's a job they can't take away from you. You know, it's funny how things have kind of switched around. Those blue collar jobs, being an electrician, being a plumber, stuff like that, nobody can outsource. Right. Yeah.
Yep. And that's it. It's like learning, you know, that there's a lot of options. Mm-hmm. And I love, you know, exactly that. If you give your children more of a freedom, you know, it's like my sister was horrified that her son, we come from, you know, it's based on education, our family, you know, mm-hmm. very intellectual. She is an Ivy League. And so she, it was like the fact that, and her other son didn't go to college at all. So like, I love that the generations, they're like, really, they break these cycles. Sure. But that's it. It's like, there's so many options. And I love the fact that you're able to like give your kids those options. And I really think that's super important. And that is one of those pieces where when you let your kids be themselves and you let them really follow what it is they're like leaning into, what they're inspired to do, I think that if you really let people lean into what's correct for them, the door is going to open, the path's going to open. And there's a lot more opportunity now than, you know, when I was graduating from high school and college, there's so much more opportunity. Yeah. And I think that's a very exciting thing.
Yeah, I think it is too, because again, it's getting back to being who you really are, you know.
Yes.
and saying, okay, I am not the corporate sit behind a desk kind of person. I am more of a work of my hands kind of person. And there not being any, you know, any shame in that, like we try to do, you know, in the past, and saying everybody, you know, follow your path. And so this thing about human design and giving people the freedom to dig into who we really are and to live that authentic life sounds really important.
It's a good tool. It's a helpful tool to use to discover a purpose, a path, a life that you're going to feel really good about. And ultimately, like you said, I think asking these deeper questions are really, really important. And it's just so easy to let life kind of, you know, dictate itself, or your parents dictate, or, you know, or what you think you should do dictate and get you into situations that don't feel very good to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of tools. I'm not saying human design is the only tool. It's the tool that worked for me.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of tools out there, but it's a great tool to help people kind of live a life that they love. And it sounds so cliche, but really that's what we're here to do, is to find out how we can, you know, make the most out of what is happening right now as humans, you know, and being here on the planet and figuring out why we're here and what we're meant to do.
Yeah. Well, the big questions, the things that are really important. So
Raquel, isn't it crazy? Go ahead.
Yeah, remind people where they can find your website. And I know you have a, you said you have the, they can get a free chart on your website. So at least get you started in the right direction.
Yeah. So the website is Raquel and Davidian. Davidian is my husband. We both, this is what we do. We're both human design guides and experts. And we on our website, you can get your free chart. And then Are You a Mutant? Raquel Rena is available on Amazon or Audible. And so once you get your free chart, you use that as your guide. And then Are You a Mutant is, it's a step-by-step. It's easy way to kind of learn your chart.
Okay. And you said Raquel and Davidian. Can you spell that for me?
Yeah. So Davidian's my husband. It's D, it's D-A-V-I-D-I-A-N.
Okay. That's why I thought, just like it sounds. All right. Just wanted to be sure. All right, Raquel, it's been great meeting you and having you here today. Thanks for doing this.
I love your questions so much. It's really, really wonderful to connect with you. Thank you so much.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
You too, Brian.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey there. If you liked this episode, come on over and talk about it. Let me know what you liked. If you didn't like this episode, come on over and talk about it. Let me know what you didn't like. Go to grieftogrowth.com/community and look for Talk About the Podcast. I'll see you there.